Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
We've been stuck in our homes for a while. Have you done a puzzle? Hey, if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, type yes and maybe what kind of puzzle, what the puzzle was of in the chat. If you've done like a puzzle in the last month, I'm the chaplain of the Golden Knights. I've been talking to some of the guys. Several of them are doing puzzles. I like puzzles, but I am no good at them. My daughter and I, we're both very competitive. We actually do puzzle contests with pretty easy puzzles to see who can do the puzzle the fastest. We've done about 135 puzzle contests, and my daughter has won 135 times. When we first got shut in, we got out some 500-piece puzzles we worked on at night. It took her like two nights to do hers. It took me four or five. When I finally finished it, my family said, "We're so proud of you." Not like you're good at that, like you're so bad. We can't believe you didn't quit. I told my friend we were doing puzzles. He gave me a 3D puzzle to do. I took out all the pieces. Nope. Put all the puzzles pieces back in the box. Well, today we are going to think about puzzles as we continue our new series, Reboot. We're thinking about how the corona crisis and our weeks in lock-in can be an opportunity instead of just a problem. Obviously, it is a problem. People are dying. People are losing their jobs. It's awful. It is a problem. But what if it can also be an opportunity for us? What if it could give us a chance to reboot our lives? Last week, we talked about control. Next week, delete. Today, alt. You get it, right? You reboot a computer by pressing control, alt, delete. Today, alt. Alt as in alternative. Alternative as in different, as in a different way to live. Is it possible for us to find a different way to live during this crazy time? I want to do something different today. Typically, in my messages, it's pretty straightforward. I make it clear what I'm hoping to teach you. I tell you the main point. I give supporting evidence. I give illustrations. I share how you can apply it. Today, I want to make you work a little bit harder. I'm going to give you some pieces of a puzzle, and I'm going to ask you to put it together, to figure out what it means to you and how you need to apply it, which is pretty much the way Jesus almost always taught. Before we do that, we're going to start by showing you part two of an interview I did with Captain Charlie Plum. Captain Plum was a U.S. fighter pilot in the Vietnam War. He flew dozens of successful missions and then was shot down. He was taken prisoner by the Vietnamese. He was held captive in a cell, actually in the cell next to John McCain. Captain Plum was tortured. He was a prisoner of war for over 6 years, and then he got out. And when we became captives in our homes, I thought about Captain Plum. Like, he's an expert on going through captivity, through difficulty, finding hope in the darkness, living a better life on the other side. And so I interviewed him. Last week, we showed you the first part. Now I want to show you the second part. And then next week, we'll see the conclusion of the interview. You'll hear today how Captain Plum uses a puzzle as a metaphor in his life. Here's that interview.
How do you hold on, you know, when all hope is gone? Well, of course, we all have a foundation of faith. And even in the prison camp, the guys that called themselves atheists, and there were a few, for a while. I think a prison camp convinces you and everybody around you that there are no atheists in foxholes. but we all have a foundation of faith. And when everything else is gone, your bigger plane, your fancy uniform, your title, you know, your friends, your family, your clothes, you know, I wore pajamas for nearly 6 years. But when all your toilet paper.
That's right.
When all this is gone. What you have left You know, and all those material things that you used to say were real are gone. What your foundation is, the things that you used to wonder if they're really real, you know, like your faith.
Yeah.
And so, in fact, I suspect that's one of the advantages of the challenge that we face, is that we get a lot of people that are backing into the very foundation of life, which has nothing to do with material wealth, has nothing to do with talent, has nothing to do with, you know, your IQ. It all boils down to your faith. And so, and I don't think I'd be alive today if I hadn't had a strong faith going into that.
I love that. I love the thought that returning to foundations. That's one of the questions I've been just wondering and praying about. Is you know, no one's enjoying this, so being stuck at home and hearing about, you know, people being sick and dying. But I do believe that there's some good that can come out of this, and that when we go back to our lives, maybe there's something that can be better because of this. Any thoughts about what is there for us to learn from this, and how, maybe from your experience back in Vietnam or even today, of how does life get better because we went through this?
I think there are a number of things that we're going to see happen because of this. Number one, I think our community, you know, our family and our friends are going to be closer because we've been through something together. My POW buddies are closer to me than my own brothers, you know. When surely it was a more dramatic situation, but when guys tell you that you saved their life, and you know for sure that they saved yours, there's just a very tight bond that will never be broken. You know, I don't know what those guys do. You know, I mean, they can be going to the electric chair, and I'll walk them right there. You know, it's they're my buds for life. I think the same thing's happening here. You know, we see the doctors, and we see the nurses, and we see family and friends and people that are delivering food to the elderly. And, and so that, you know, that connection, I think, will last a long time after this is over. But I think there are a lot of little technical kinds of things, you know, like the video stuff. You know, when kids find out that they can learn just as well by staying home in their pajamas, you know, eating their Pop-Tarts instead of going to school.
Right.
I think we're going to see a lot more of that happen. And you know, I think that's good.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're going to depend, I think, a lot more on our leadership, on the scientists and the doctors, and I think we're going to be better prepared. Mm-hmm. We're certainly going to wash our hands more, I think.
That's right, for sure. That's awesome. Hey, I've heard you use an analogy when you were in prison of a puzzle, and as kind of a metaphor for how you were able to try to find purpose in the suffering. Could you share that with us, this kind of your approach in prison, and maybe how that could apply to us today?
Sure. My mother was a saint. Absolutely. I put her up against Mother Teresa. You know, as long as I lived, I never heard my mother say an angry word about anybody. She just did not do that. And so she taught me a lot about forgiveness. And one of the things I remember her saying is, son, she'd say, you know, in every situation in life, there are two sides. There's going to be a positive side. There's going to be a negative side. And she'd say, the key to living, you know, a good life is to choose the positive side. She'd say, it's a puzzle. You know, challenge yourself to find the good in everybody you meet. Challenge yourself to find positive parts of every challenge you face. So I got in the prison camp, and I'll never forget, you know, laying out there on that torture room floor, and they were bending my shoulders were out of joint, and I was bleeding from four open wounds. And I'm thinking, Mom, what can be good from this? The best this will ever be, Mom, is a time I can forget, you know, and that's as good as it'll ever get if I can just put it out of my mind forever.
Right.
But I said, okay, if this is true, I challenged myself, you know, if this is a puzzle and I can solve the puzzle and find the good in this, Then I'll find out that mom's right. Well, and through the nearly 6 years I was in a prison camp, you know, I validated that rule, plus Romans 8:28, another one, you know. Give me that challenge. Yeah. All things work together for good. You kidding me? Mm-hmm. You know, how can all things, not just the good things, but all things work together for good? And you know, make that your puzzle. Find, if you know, try to validate that fact in your life.
Yeah.
So I came home, again, another problem when I came home. That wife, my high school sweetheart that I married after the Naval Academy, she had filed for divorce 3 months before I came home. She had held on for 5 years and then just finally gave up on the whole situation. Now, in all fairness, I believe it was tougher on her than it was on me. Mm-hmm. At least every day I knew I was alive. She didn't. Every day I was convinced I was going to come home better than ever. And she didn't know that. And so she filed for divorce and was engaged to another guy when I came home. And I, of course, I didn't find that out until I was at Clark Air Force Base in the Philippines, and they told me. And I'll never forget, you know, curled up in the fetal position in that hospital bed, again, saying, Mom, what good can come from this? You know, this is a disaster. And Romans 8:28, is that true? Is that really going to happen, that all things work together for good? And all I have to do is love the Lord, you know, find the good in everybody and everything. Then, I don't know if it works for everybody, but it sure has worked for me.
I love that. I love that. It makes me think there's a story in the Bible about Joseph from the Old Testament, and his brother sold him into slavery. He ends up in prison, didn't do anything wrong. And God ends up working good out of it. And in fact, Joseph says to his brothers, you meant this to harm me, but God meant it for good. And so not the idea that God caused it, but God can take even the bad things that happen to us, and he can grow us and develop our faith and make us better people. And yes, that puzzle. I love the idea of the puzzle. I'm going to use that for the rest of my life of like, okay, this is a challenge. Where's the good? What's God going to make of this? How's he going to use it? Thank you, Captain Plum. I look forward to you guys hearing the rest of the interview next week. But today, I want to give you 7 puzzle pieces. As I said, I'm going to ask you to do most of the work of putting it together to figure out what it means to you and how you need to apply it. Puzzle piece 1. I want you to picture a caterpillar crawling through the mud. That's what this caterpillar has done its whole caterpillar life. The reason the caterpillar stays on the ground, crawls through dirt, is because it's a caterpillar. That's what it is. Puzzle piece 2. I want you to picture you. And I want to ask, what don't you like about your life? You may feel pretty good about yourself. I hope you do. But there's something, right? What don't you like about your life? What would you change if you could? Puzzle piece 3. Is a story from the Bible. There's a guy named Joseph. He's a good guy, bad brothers. In fact, his brothers sold Joseph into slavery. Joseph's a slave. And then he gets thrown into prison for a crime he didn't commit. He's confined in this prison cell. But then something amazing happens. God uses all the bad things that have happened in Joseph's life to put him in an incredible position. In that position, Joseph is able to save the lives of a nation of people. Joseph's brothers end up coming to him, and they ask if he can forgive them. And Joseph says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Joseph saying, God never left me, and he used what I've gone through. He was living out the reality of another Bible verse. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him." Puzzle piece 4. I want you to picture that caterpillar that was crawling through the mud, but it's now in a cocoon or a chrysalis. Day after day, it's stuck in the cocoon, can't leave. I don't know what it's doing. It's It's playing solitaire, binging Netflix shows, watching Tiger King. No, it's in that cocoon transforming. It's going through a metamorphosis. It's stuck right now, but something important is happening. It is going to emerge from that cocoon, a butterfly. A butterfly is beautiful. It flies above the mud, soaring through the sky. Why? Because it's something different now. Picture number 5 is a picture of Jesus. Jesus is speaking to you. And here's what it says. He says it's something he actually did say. It's in the Bible, Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. Jesus says, I see what you've done. Now see what I've done. I have opened a door for you that no one can close. So the picture is of Jesus opening a door. It's like there's life on the other side of the door. Jesus said he came to bring us life, real life, abundant life. And Jesus has opened the door to life. And there is an invitation for you to walk through it. There's something cool about the grammar here. Instead of using past tense, the writer uses the perfect tense. Perfect tense describes something done in the past, but its effect continues now and into the future. There's another place in the Bible where we see another cool use of perfect tense. I'll show you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 8, Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 other brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also. That is the gospel, the good news. And right, it's huge, huge. And an extra cool thing is the verb tenses. So I'll show you. It says, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That's past tense. It says that he was buried, past tense. Then it says that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Pause on that one. Wait for that. And that he appeared to Cephas, past tense. And then to the 12, past tense. Then it says, after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Past tense. Then he appeared to James and to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also. Past tense, past tense, past tense. All past tense, which makes sense because all those things happen in the past. Except that one line says that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That one line is written in perfect tense. Perfect tense describes something done in the past, but its effect continues now and into the future. Jesus was raised on the third day 2,000 years ago, but the impact of that, it's still happening now. Jesus is impacting lives now. He's forgiving sin now. He's walking with people now. He's answering prayers now. He's giving people strength and power now. Perfect tense. Pretty cool. So back to our picture. Jesus says, I have opened a door for you that no one can close. It's written in perfect tense. Jesus opened the door in the past, but it's still being opened. The invitation is still there for you to walk through the open door. All right, that's 5 of the pieces. I'm going to give you 2 more, but first we're going to take some time with God. We're going to be led in a couple songs that we will sing to God. We sing these songs to God because he loves it. And because we need it. It helps us to focus on God, to express ourselves to God, to build our relationship with him, to love him more. And so wherever you are right now, I hope you'll engage with this. Read the words, listen to the words, maybe sing the words. And then I'll be back and I'll share with you the other 2 pieces of the puzzle. Okay, puzzle piece 6, the caterpillar who went into the cocoon and transformed. It's now a butterfly. But this butterfly, despite having perfectly functional wings, is crawling through the mud. It can fly, but it just keeps crawling. crawling. You're watching it. You're wondering, why would it continue to crawl when it can fly? Why would it stay in the mud when it can soar above it? It doesn't make any sense. There's better life available. Does it not know? Does it still think it's a caterpillar? Puzzle piece 7 is a story. It's a story the philosopher Soren Kierkegaard used to tell. So picture this. Picture a duck world where everyone is a duck. Since everyone is a duck, when they refer to God, they call him the duck god. All the ducks would go to church on Sunday, and the duck preacher would get up and say, "The duck god is a mighty god." And all the ducks would shout their agreement, "Quack, quack, quack." If you want to try that at home, you can. It's kind of fun. Let out a hearty quack, quack, quack. You can type in quack, quack, quack. So the preacher said, "So the duck god is a mighty god." All the ducks said, "Quack, quack, quack." "And the duck god has created you with wings." "Quack, quack, quack." "And he's created you with wings for a purpose so that you can fly." "Quack, quack, quack." "And when you use those wings, you are going to experience a freedom that you never experienced before." "Quack, quack, quack." "So I'm going to challenge you. Use those wings." "Quack, quack, quack." "Use them mightily." "Quack, quack, quack." And here's the tragedy. When the service was over, everyone waddled home. Well, that's the piece. Those are the pieces of the puzzle. Now you get to put it together. You get to figure out what does it mean to you and how should you apply it to your life. We end every service at Verve by shouting out together, not quack, 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 but viva la Verve. Viva la Verve means live the life. When we say viva la Verve, we're saying that we're not going to keep living the same life, that we're going to use the wings God has given us, that we are going to fly. There's an alt life, an alternative life available to us. So thanks for joining us online today. Join us again next Sunday as we continue our reboot series. Until then, and as always, viva la Verve.